Butler, Glendale, California, June 23, 1905. Dear Brother Butler, since leaving Washington, I have had much writing and speaking to do. I have spoken twice to the Los Angeles Church. The Lord gave me a message for the people before leaving San Diego. On our way to Los Angeles, we stopped off at Loma Linda and visited the property that we have purchased for sanitarium work. We were taken through the different buildings. There is one large main building which was built for sanitarium work and is well adapted for that purpose. Some changes will have to be made regarding bath and treatment facilities, but otherwise, everything is in readiness for us to begin work at once. Until this recent visit, I had never before seen such a place with my natural eyes. But 4 years ago, such a place was presented before me as one of those that would come into our possession if we moved wisely. It is a wonderful place in which to begin our work for Redlands and Riverside. We must make decided efforts to secure helpers who will do most faithful medical missionary work. If God will bless the treatment given, and Christ will let his healing power be felt, a wonderful work will be accomplished. We shall need the very best physicians that can be secured, men and women who are faithful and true, and who will live in constant dependence upon the great healer. Men and women who will humble their hearts before God and believe his word. Men and women who will keep their eyes fixed on their leader and counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. This work must be carried on aright. In the past, decided failures have been made in the institutions established for the care of the sick because so much business has been crowded in that the main object for which our sanitariums are established has been lost sight of. Great loss has thus been sustained. I am to urge upon our people that the proclamation of the principles of truth must be kept prominent as the main line of work for which our sanitariums were instituted. The Lord calls for a solemn dedication to Him of the sanitariums that shall be established. Our object in the establishment of these institutions is that the truth for this time may through them be proclaimed. In order that this may be done, they must be conducted on right lines. In them, business interests are not to be crowded in to take the place of spiritual interests. Everyday devotional exercises are to be held. The Word of God is in no case to be given a secondary place. Those who come to our sanitariums for treatment must see the Word of God, which is the bread of life, exalted above all common earthly considerations. A strong religious influence is to be exerted. It must be plainly shown that the glory of God and the uplifting of Christ are placed before all else. The stupidity of soul that has been evidenced in our plans must now cease to bear away the victory. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, verse 36-37. Many who should have stood with us in solid rank and file have given themselves up to ambitions which have led to objectionable practices, opposed to honest and righteous dealing. The service of such ones God does not accept. They are drawing into the pattern strange threads which will spoil the figure, and the Lord cannot endorse their work. Those who become adepts in unfair dealing gain their success at altogether too high a price. Their mental powers are used to overreach and defraud, and opposite their names in the books of heaven, God writes the words, "Unfaithful stewards." God and eternal life become of little account to them when the greed for gain and for the mastery are in the scale. An eternity of blissful experience is exchanged for the flattery of supposed success. Transaction after transaction forbidden by God is entered into. The voice said, "Better, far better the loss of all earthly possessions than the loss of the favor of God and the eternal interests that are at stake." The time is not far distant when the last venture will be made in giving the enemy the advantage over the soul, and the loss will be for eternity. Success in such ventures is a terrible disaster to those who take part in them. The words were spoken. Better the cross and the disappointment. Better the shattered hopes and the world's charge of foolishness than to gain a name, to sit with princes, and to forfeit heaven.
There is in the world today a power that palsies the spiritual energies, benumbs the sense of right, and robs man of the victory of overcoming. The benumbed soul does not recover. The spiritual paralysis continues until the end. Lies are spoken, lies are acted, deception is practiced, and dishonesty connived at. This leaves a deadly sting in the soul. The father of lies has taken possession of the citadel of the heart. The false, the deceptive, has turned the whole current of the life. Business transactions have become corrupt, and this moral degradation has been chosen instead of a rich current of light from heaven. The time has come when men who were once chosen of God have become degenerate. The word will soon be spoken. He is joined to his idols. Let him alone. There is much more that I might say, but I will withhold it. God pity those who are deceived by men. I am instructed to say, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Now is the time to raise the standard aloft. I am to give the message that all advantage gained by compliance with tainted customs will leave its slimy trail. Any man, whatever his profession may be, who has committed himself to an objectionable course of action, opposed to that which is pure, lovely, and of good report, will trample upon the word of God. Would that those who have had great light would, in this, the Day of Atonement, humble their souls and confess and forsake their sins, declaring that from henceforth, by the grace of God, they will hold fast to their integrity, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and taking the word of God as their rule of conduct, their standard of duty. When men plan and scheme to get the advantage of one another in business dealing, it is because they have cast the word of God behind them. It pains my heart even to trace these words. The word of God does not restrict man's diligence in business transactions that are according to righteousness, but it bears plain witness against underhand dealing. Upon this point, it is clear and decided, and no one need err in understanding it. The word of God is a light put into man's hand. God tells him to be guided by its precepts. Thus only can he become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In obeying the word, man is acquiring immortal treasures which will never pass away. The peace of God is worth everything to the receiver. The talents entrusted to us by God are to be used in His service. Thus only can the highest results be obtained from their use. Man will not be deprived of the powers given him if he uses these powers to the glory of God. I am given a message to bear to the members of our churches. My brethren and sisters, consecrate all that you have and are to God. The silver and the gold that we possess is but lent us in trust. The sin of covetousness is destroying the value of holy principles. It is leading us to act in opposition to God's will. It is eating out the hearts of men. Let us not cherish it longer. How disgraceful are the disclosures that are being made regarding men who have occupied high places in the world. Shall the intrigues practiced by these men be practiced by the members of the Church of God? Shall we not obey the injunction, "Honor the Lord with thy substance"? Proverbs 3, verse 9. My brethren and sisters, it was the favor of God that enabled you to gather together your substance. All that you have belongs to Him, and cheerfully and gladly you are to lay your means and talents upon the altar of service, that they may be used in saving perishing souls. The Christian in the marketplace who keeps his soul unspoiled has a credit in the heavenly courts. His means will not be used to carry out the devising of the enemy, but to do good in the very lines that God has marked out. The Lord will teach us how to employ all our powers to the glory of His name. The gathering of wealth is to be used in the service of the Master. Thus used, it will bring a hundredfold in this life, and in the life to come, glorious and eternal riches. To every church member I would say, never, never let there be any departing from the strictest integrity. Do not mock God, the majesty of heaven, by a disregard of His word. Never, never defraud a fellow being and then suppose that your sharpness is something to be proud of. Do not follow maxims of business that are based on false pretensions. There is in this our day a great deal of falsity. The pretender, the deceiver, is increasing in numbers, and truth and integrity are violated. Lies are spoken, lies are acted, and are becoming more and more common among those who do not make the Word of God their counselor. Never was there a time when truth and righteousness should be so highly exalted by those who are in God's service as the present. Let us urge upon our people the necessity of laying wholly upon the foundation principles of the truth. Oh, there are so many who fail to enjoy the blessing that comes from a clear conviction of what the people of God must be. There is nothing in self upon which it is safe to rest. In the place of being confused in regard to the foundation of our faith, which has been confirmed by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the place of building flimsy foundations upon the sands of error, let us hold haste to the great principles of truth given us, refusing to be moved. Those who receive theories of Satan's furnishing are building upon the sand. When the storm and tempest come, their building will suddenly collapse, and great will be the fall of it. Let us thank God, Brother Butler, that there are still some living who have had an experience from the beginning in the proclamation of the great and solemn messages that have come to our world in warning. We know that the Holy Spirit's power has confirmed the word spoken. We can say, as did John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verse 1, 3. From our own personal experience, we can speak of the truth that has made us what we are, Seventh-day Adventists. Truth felt within is most precious, but truth confirmed by the testimony of the Word and by the Holy Spirit's power is of the highest value. We can confidently say, the truth that has come to us through the Holy Spirit's working is not a lie. The evidences given for the last half century bear the evidence of the Spirit's power. In the Word of God, we have found the truth that substantiates our faith. We have watched the influence of the heresies that have come in, and we have seen them come to naught. God has given us sacred, holy truths. Let us hold them fast. I am instructed to say that we are now to present these truths, in plainness and simplicity, to the people of God.